We grew up being told that if we break the rules, we'll get sent to the principal's office. Follow the rules or you'll get fired. Now, some rules are good, do unto others, etc. Only use capital letters for proper nouns and at the beginning of a sentence. But progress is often made by people with very little regard for the rules. Viola Desmond, Nelson Mandela, Nina Simone, and Steve Jobs all broke the rules and changed the way we live. All were rebels with a cause, emblematic of the idea that people shouldn't follow rules, rules should follow people. Hi, I'm Richard Krauss, and on today's Pop Life podcast, I want to introduce you to two rule breakers, Nigella Lawson and a woman whose last name is synonymous with breaking the rules. That's Moon Zappa. First up, celebrity chef and cookbook author Nigella Lawson. She has always walked her own path, not only breaking the rules of culinary life, but spectacularly scoffing at them. Here's Nigella Lawson.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Now, is it true that you wrote your first book after seeing a home cook, melt down after making a mistake in the kitchen?
Well, she hadn't even made a mistake. You know, what happened was there are various reasons that I wrote my first book, or that led me to my first book. But one of them was that I was at a friend's house, and she had an apartment she rented at the time, and she'd rather formally put us around a table, and she was in her kitchen, and she kept going in and out of the kitchen, getting more and more stressed, and at one stage we all heard her sobbing, and I thought, this is the wrong way.
And that directly influenced you, but I also imagine that your work as a journalist and a food critic also sort of pointed the way as well.
Yes, although, you know, really I wasn't a food journalist in any way, but I think that food is a story. Mm-hmm. And when I write a recipe or when I talk about a food stuff that interests me, I suppose I do bring a lot of the journalist to it, which is, you know, why now, right, and why, where, how, and in a way I feel I need to make a case for the recipe. Why am I writing about this now? What is it about this recipe? And how do I make it as vivid as possible? When I was an op-ed columnist, you knew that if people were, you know, on a train reading the newspaper, that they had lots of pages they could turn to, so you had that first paragraph had to, right, grab them. So I, right, feel that's my job to writing recipes. I want to bring people into my world, and I feel I don't have many occasions to do it. I just have to go for it.
Go for the punch right off the, yeah, top. The Meyer lemon right off the top, yeah, whatever, yeah, it is.
Or sometimes I just leave it and to see, you know, what is it that brought me to that recipe? Why am I talking about, mm-hmm, it? And sometimes you just have to hope that that bit of connection works.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're a self-taught cook, mm-hmm, and often called the
queen. I learnt from my mother, yeah, you know, as way a lot of us did in the olden days.
Well, I had read that when you were younger, you loved cooking with your mom, and then when you went to school, the food was so terrible that's when you really got interested in cooking. Is that,
yes,
about right?
Well, yes. So I always cooked as a child. I can't remember not cooking. Mm-hmm. And then I was sent to boarding school, and it really wasn't great food. And so I became a bit obsessive reading about food, looking at food books, recipe books. My mother never used a cookbook, right, so that wasn't really part of how I learned to cook. So I did become fascinated. And I think I won the French prize or something, and much to the annoyance of the French teacher, I used the money I got to buy some cookbooks. Yeah. And but anyway, I think the French would have approved. So I did that, and then when I went to university, I became the person who cooked for everyone.
Right, right. And what kind of things were you cooking then?
Nothing enormously fancy, and I still don't. I became the queen of onion soup, right, you know, because, you know, students are on a budget. So, yeah, you know, I used to get sack loads of onions and then try and go around to people's rooms and the fridges to see what I could take from them, turn them into something different. Mm-hmm. I used to buy, you know, cheap cuts of meat from the market and spend a lot of time on them. You know, I think that I always say to people, there are two ingredients, time and money. And when you have not much money, you have to spend quite a lot of time. Right. And when you have a lot of money, you know, like a fillet steak doesn't take long to cook.
Right.
But however, a baked potato takes longer. And I think that in a way, learning to cook as a student on a budget means you actually have to learn how to cook, because you have to think, what can I do to this to make the meat tender? Or how can I make this taste good? You're not just gonna do just a baked potato. So I enjoyed that, and I think I enjoyed feeding people, and I learned as well that it's quite the stress of writing essays, or they call them a stress-ay now, you can, if you're chopping, if I'm making soup or risotto or something, it'll unwind me. And then I took that through with me when I was a journalist, mm-hmm. that often I would come up with my ideas by doing a bit of gentle cooking.
I found that the way I learned how to cook, I worked in restaurants as a bartender mostly.
I did, but I learned
how to, yeah, I watched